Go away for a little bit, Terry. Go ahead a little bit. If people come. Everybody, we'll go ahead and we'll start the change march. We have all the young kids. We're going to start the change march. Sister Juana's going to read the Sunday school report.
Officers and teachers present 10, pupils present 35, total was 45. There were 64 more come in, made a total of 109, total collection $485. The class that had most present and the most collection is class number 9, Jeff Wright.
Amen, Brother Dan.
All right, good morning, and I appreciate you being here this morning, and good to see you, and a lot of orange, and of course we're praying for Miss Tammy and the family, and a lot of things going on in their hearts and minds this morning, so just continue to pray for them, and good to see you. Hope you had a good week this last week, and when Brad Nelson's not here, everything falls apart, so anyway, but we'll figure it all out. So let's open a word of prayer if we could. Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness for us. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for providing for our needs, and I thank you for protecting us. I ask now that you'd help us this morning as we look into your word, and I pray that you'd help us to please you in everything that we say and do. I pray for the singing, the preaching, that may glorify you, and that as a result of the things that are said and done today, we'd draw closer to you, and that lives would be changed and souls would be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, David.
Hey, good morning, folks. Turn to number 119 for your congregation this morning. As somebody who spent 5 years at the University of Tennessee and spent born at Fort Sanders, this sure does make me proud of tweet. I hope you notice this. Ain't a red shirt in the house today. Where is he? Yeah, there he is. But love Keith and Tammy. Had you on my heart. Had you on my heart. 119.
Thank you.
Yellow mic. Check, check. Check, check. Yellow mic.
It ain't working either. Here, I'm saying it ain't working.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Or a few announcements, if we could. Don't forget, tonight at 5:30 is the men's prayer room, and we'll be praying there. Men, if you're able to come and join us, that'd be wonderful and encouragement. And then, of course, the evening service at 6 o'clock, and be here if you can for that. Senior Center on Tuesday at 11 o'clock over in the old church building there, and those involved in that, that'll be at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. Wednesday, Awana at 6:30 begins, and then the Wednesday evening service at 7 o'clock. And we're praying much about those things there. On the right side there, you see if you have a child who is graduating from high school or college, please give their name to my wife so that we can make plans to celebrate them. We're planning, of course, what we normally do every year to celebrate our graduates. And so let her know names and, of course, proper spelling, if you would, please. And maybe write it on a piece of paper, give it to her. That would be helpful. Here on the front of the wall on each side is a card, and a young lady in our community named Kirsten McElroy was in an accident recently, and it has changed her life, and not necessarily in a good way, I suppose you could say, from our perspective, but we want to be an encouragement to her. This is somebody that is neighbor, I think, to Miss Stacy. And if you would, after the service, if you're able to, just write a little note. We're praying for you, maybe your name. And we want to give those cards to her this week. And if you would do that, if you're able to, help us with that. Be encouragement to that young girl. She's just a high school teenage girl in high school. And I was able to enjoy a lot of things that she's not able to enjoy anymore because of that accident. And so, if you would help us with that. Also, don't forget the Walk for Life information there. You can see Amber or talk to Amber if you need more information on that. And then, of course, Sunday school. If you weren't able to make it to Sunday school, we encourage you to be here next Sunday and to enjoy looking at the Word of God there. I want to read a scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, probably a familiar portion of scripture to most of us. I was okay today until I saw this little girl sitting up here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 26, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." And I think we all know why we're wearing orange today, and I appreciate you doing that for this family. Brother Keith, if you want to come and say a few things perhaps, and appreciate you being here, and then we'll continue on with the service.
I don't know why it's so hard for me to talk in front of my church family. If I was trying to sell you a car or a roof, I couldn't find enough words. I just want you to know that me and Tammy really appreciate each and every one of you guys. This means so much to us. The love, the prayers, everything's been said and done for us in the past a little over a year, year and a half, whatever it's been. That precious baby girl right there is my world. And I know we've all got loved ones that's gone on to heaven. But praise God, there's a day coming that I'm going to get to hug my Savior's neck and see my family. if you're not saved, I encourage you to get things right with the Lord today. But me and Tammy, we love you, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you guys so much.
Amen. If we could have some fellas come, we'll go ahead and take the offering this morning. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you and our giving. I pray now that you'd take these offerings, multiply it for your ministry, the work of the gospel. I pray that you'd help us to please you in the things we do and say, the remainder of the service that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wasn't there.
Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. Jonah, chapter number 1. Jonah, chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I'd like to speak to you on this topic this morning, how to deal with the storms of life. How to deal with the storms of life. We're all going to go through storms, difficult times, trials, troubles, tribulations in our lives. And may I say, I don't know if unfortunately is the right word, but may I say unfortunately, multiple times in our lives. It's not just going to be a one-time thing and then we're done. It's not just going to be something that takes place and then, whew, got over that one, now I'm good the rest of my life. Some are more serious than others, some are more severe than others, seemingly, but understand that God allows these things into our lives for a reason. Sometimes God doesn't tell us the reason. Those are the hardest ones, aren't they? No matter how severe the storm may be, perhaps the hardest difficulties to endure are the ones we just don't understand why. And this morning, what I want to do, and I promise I will not be long, but I have 10 points this morning. 10 things, all right? 10 things from what we find here in Jonah that I hope will help you deal with the things that God allows into your life. So, let's get into it, all right? Number one. Look at verse number 4. So we know, of course, Jonah's not wanting to do what God called him to do, and that's a whole other subject, a whole other topic. We're not going to get into all of that and why, but he gets in this boat in verse number 4, and the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Notice the first phrase there, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. May I say this, that God is involved in every storm that you go through. Whether he sends it directly or whether he allows it. God is involved in every storm that you go through. I think of the other times where we have difficulties or actual physical storms going through things. I think of the disciples there on the boat in the Sea of Galilee. Remember that one? They were there and the storm was up and Jesus was on the boat with them. And they came to him and said, Why are you sleeping? He was asleep in the boat. And they said, Why are you sleeping? Don't you care that we're about to die? Don't you care that we're going to perish?
We find in the book of Acts another storm. As a matter of fact, that was a named storm. They called it Euroclydon there at the end of the book of Acts, where Paul was going to Rome. And they went through a difficult storm there. But understand this, storms come because God allows them. Now you say, why would God do that? Why would God allow that? Again, sometimes I don't know. And sometimes we're just never going to know. Sometimes, and you've heard people say this, I've said it myself, I can't wait to heaven to find out why God did fill in the blank. You ever thought about the fact that God just may never tell us? I don't know. But I do know this. God never does anything that's designed to hurt me. We have a God who loves us and cares about us. Keep your finger here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, watch this, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us, that's God, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So if for no other reason we don't find out why God allows the difficulties in life that he allows, if there's no other reason, we know that the Bible tells us it's for the purpose that we can take the comfort that we receive from God and give it to somebody else. That we can be an encouragement and a strengthening factor in the life of somebody else because of what they're going to go through. You know, a lot of people have been through a lot of terrible, terrible things in their lives. I don't understand all of that. I don't understand all the wickedness that's in the world. And I don't pretend to understand why God allows those types of things to exist and all of that. But I do know this, in the midst of all of those things, if we'll trust God and believe that he is involved in it to some extent and we'll receive comfort from him, if for no other reason we can take that comfort and give it to somebody else who's going to go through something very similar. And we could be a comfort to someone else also. Go back to Jonah chapter 1, again in verse number 4, the Bible says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. Watch this. So that the ship was like to be broken. I wrote this thought down. The storm will cause you to think it's going to destroy you. They thought the ship was going to tear apart. In Acts, we find the ship actually tearing apart. They put those big straps around the ship there in the book of Acts, and to tighten the boat, they twisted it there at the top to keep the hull intact. But the storm was so severe there that the ship failed and was destroyed. But everybody on board was saved alive, if you remember that. Remember that angel that appeared to the Apostle Paul and said, look, everybody, if they all stay on board the ship, everyone will be saved. So understand something. The severity of the storm may seem like it's going to destroy you. It may seem like it's going to just wipe everything out. But understand this. Again, we have a God who never does anything or allows anything to destroy us. That's the devil's responsibility. That's what he has taken upon himself to do. Right? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is out to destroy you, God is not. And it's so easy because the devil will come, or one of his spirits will come and whisper in our ear and plant thoughts in our minds. Now, we don't have to dwell on those thoughts, but it'll plant thoughts in our minds. Why is God doing this to you? And I've had to say to myself from time to time, it's not that God is doing it to me, it's that God is doing it for me so that I can do for someone else. Now, some of these things are very easy to say until you're in it. Some of these things are very easy to point out and say, well, you know, do this, check, 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 check. It's easy to say these types of things, but when you're right in the middle of it, it's a whole lot different, isn't it? Look at verse number 5 of Jonah 1. Then the mariners were afraid. Notice that phrase there, they were afraid. And then go over to verse number 10. It says, then the men were exceedingly afraid. Well, that's interesting. What made them afraid, and then what made them exceedingly afraid? Well, look at it. Look at verse number nine, I'm sorry. And he said to them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. What made them afraid? They found out who Jonah really was. They found out who Jonah really was. You see, because the storm will reveal who you really are. They say there's nothing that reveals a person more than difficulty. But may I say this also, sometimes victory can reveal who we really are too. It's one thing to be a sore loser. It's another thing to be a sore winner. There are sore losers and sore winners, unfortunately. But understand this, the difficulties of life will reveal to us. Look, God never brings anything into our lives to find out so that he can know who we are. He already knows who we are. He already knows what we're made of. He already knows what we can handle. And he never allows us to deal with anything that we can't handle. He never takes us through any difficulty that if we'll rely on him, we'll have the strength to be able to, that we won't have the strength to be able to get through. Everything that God allows, everything that God sends, everything that God is involved is for the purpose of revealing to ourselves and, may I say, to others who we really are. Because the storm has a tendency to blow a lot of the junk away and reveal what's left. Look at verse number 5 again. He says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. I'm on number 4, I think. The storm will cause you to want to get rid of the cargo. You say, what's the cargo? Your friends. Church. Your Bible. Prayer. Being an encouragement to others. You see, when we go through the difficulty, usually one of the first things that goes also is those people that we rely on, we want to isolate, don't we? It's just a natural thing that we want to do. We want to isolate, we want to try to internalize, and what happens is we begin to shut off, we begin to cast the cargo over the boat in the middle of the storm. You see, they thought if they got rid of the cargo, the ship would be a little bit lighter and they'd be able to rise above the waves and get through it. But the cargo was never designed to be abandoned. People were depending on these mariners to get the cargo where it needed to go, right? There were other people depending on these people to get it where it needed to go. And I understand, in the realm of physical and whatever, I don't know what term I'm looking for, but I understand in that realm that storms happen, ships sink, cargo is lost, lives are lost. I understand all of that. But when it comes in the spiritual realm here, there are people depending on you. There are people depending on me. And it's my responsibility to keep the cargo in the boat, to keep on praying, to keep on witnessing, to keep on going to church, to keep on smiling if I can as God helps me and leads me and guides me in those things. And those are difficult things, aren't they? One of the first things I want to do is I want to close this book and not pick it up. But this is precious cargo that cannot be abandoned. One of the first things I want to do is stop talking to God. Why? Because I feel like God is punishing me for some reason, but that's a precious cargo that cannot be abandoned. I must keep my fellowship and communion with God. One of the first things I want to abandon is other folks, and I want to isolate and eliminate all the other distractions and just be by myself. But understand, that's a precious cargo that God gave you to help you and encourage you and strengthen you in the middle of that storm. Don't throw the cargo overboard. Keep the cargo on board. Look at verse number 6. We see the next thing here. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now understand something, casting lots was not the way to find God's will, okay? Drawing straws is not the way to find out whether or not God's in something, because somebody's going to get the lot, right? I mean, now understand this, God did use casting lots, all right? But casting lots was, that's not the thing to do, all right? So please don't, you know, don't get a bag with colored rocks in it and pull out the black or the white one. And, you know, that's bad news. So don't do that. Don't draw straws. Don't do it. Follow God. Follow his word. Do those things. God will reveal those things. But back in this time period, casting lots was one of those things that was accepted that people would do. And there were times, we find in the scriptures, a couple different times where God directed through the casting of lots. This is one of those times. They cast the lots. Jonah pulled out the colored rock. You're the one. The lot fell upon Jonah. Look at the next verse. Notice what happens here. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? Notice the questions here. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? If you're writing things down, you write this down, the storm will bring questions. Now, I'm the kind of person that personally, and I'm not gonna, you know, fist fight anybody in the parking lot afterwards, but I don't think it's wrong to ask God why. It's one thing, let me put it this way, it's one thing to ask God questions, it's another thing to question God. Asking God questions says, I'm searching for an answer. I want an answer. I need an answer. Questioning God just reveals an attitude. A bad attitude. The fact that I'm not trusting God, that I'm not relying on him, that I don't believe that what he's doing is best. So asking questions and questioning, in my opinion, are two different things. I've heard, again, maybe you've said it, maybe you've heard other people say, we should never ask God why. I don't necessarily agree with that, because sometimes God allows things in our lives where we need to find out why. Remember the blind man in the New Testament, the gospel records? The disciples said, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, what are you talking about? Nobody sinned. But there was a reason, so that God could be glorified. The only reason he was born blind was because one day I knew I was going to come across here and I was going to meet him and I was going to heal him and God would be glorified in it. So there are reasons why God does what he does. Sometimes he chooses to reveal those things to us. Sometimes he doesn't. But the storm will bring questions. And you need to know why, if possible, why God is... Maybe perhaps there's something in my life that is causing that... Maybe it's just my own stupid choices and decisions. Sometimes God allows things in my life to straighten me out. Sometimes God allows things in my life to punish. Sometimes God allows things in my life to reveal himself to me to a greater degree. There's multiple reasons. But asking a question is not a bad thing, but be careful that doesn't turn into questioning God and questioning his motive behind why he's doing what he's doing. Keep reading. Look at verse number 9. And he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. Now watch this. This is so very important. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. You know what I wrote down? Not every storm that you go through is meant for you. Sometimes God sends a storm in the life of another individual, and I just happen to be close enough that I get caught up in it. Those are difficult ones, aren't they? Those are difficult ones. But Jonah said, you have to go through this storm. And he wasn't, I don't think he was apologizing. He was saying, I know, no doubt about it. This tempest, this great storm is upon you because of me, because of my disobedience. It was Jonah's disobedience that caused these mariners to have to go through a storm. That's tough, isn't it? Man, that's tough. That's tough for me to handle. And I think to myself, why would God do that? Now, wait a minute. It's not about what God would do. It's about what God is trying to accomplish in my life, what God is doing for me, not to me. Notice the result of what happened here at the end of this in verse number 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. You see what happened? As a result of the storm that God allowed them to go through that had nothing to do with them, it caused them to shift their priorities, because that's what the storm does. It helps you reprioritize some things. Now, wait a minute. Now I realize there's some things maybe not as important as what I thought they were, and I need to shift some things around here. I need to make sure I'm doing what I ought to be doing, when I ought to be doing it, and I ought to reprioritize. And that storm reprioritizes some of those things. And we find the same thing happened to Jonah in chapter number 2. Look what he says here. Look at verse number 7, Jonah 2:7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. See, it reprioritized for Jonah too, because that's what the storm does. Look at verse number 13. So Jonah tells them, look, you got to throw me in the ocean. You got to throw me in the sea. They don't want to do that, so they try to row. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. May I say this? Obedience is the only thing that will calm the sea. Obedience to God. Now, understand, just because a storm comes does not mean you've been disobedient. Please understand that. But I do know this. If you want to get through the storm like God has designed for you to get the storm, you just have to obey. You just have to keep obeying. And I've rushed through these. I apologize for the brevity of it. There's so many things that we could say about all of these things. But look at the very last thing. And maybe, I don't know if this is perhaps the most important thing, but let me show you something here in verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and it records his prayer. Look at verse 10 of chapter number 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went. I wrote this last thought down. The storm is never meant to blow you off course. It's always meant to either keep you on course or bring you back on course. Storm is never meant to blow you off course. You see, what happened was Jonah got gotten off course. God came to him and said, look, you need to go to Nineveh. And I'm not going to get to all the reasons why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. You can go back to 2 Kings and find some things there. But we find Jonah fleeing from God, trying to flee from God's presence. Now we know how silly that is, trying to flee from the presence of God. But he had gotten way off course. He was going the opposite direction. And what did God do? God brought a storm into his life to bring him back on course, or to keep him on course. Now Jonah to me, and we're not going to belabor the whole thing, but Jonah to me is one of probably the most intriguing characters in the Bible, because he did not want to be used by God, and God still used him. Why? Because he was just obedient. As a matter of fact, we find in chapter number 4, and you probably know the account, he even gets mad at God. And basically is yelling at God for why he did what he did. I knew what you were going to do. That's why I didn't want to come here. I knew that all this was happening. But before Jonah was ever able to accomplish God's will in the way that God had designed it to be accomplished, he had to go through this storm. Now, understand, again, please understand, the storm does not only come to people who are way out of God's will, because sometimes we go through storms that aren't meant for us. It's just part of life. It's just part of what we deal with. It's just part of what God has allowed our lives to be like. And as we go through this, we find his reluctancy, but then of course we find his repentance and return to God. I say repentance. I'm not even really sure Jonah was repentant, to be honest with you. I think he just didn't want to be in the whale's belly anymore. So he prayed and did what he needed to do to get out of the whale's belly, and then did what God told him to do, and then he still wasn't happy about it. But with all that being said, he had to endure something that I wouldn't wish on anybody. You go through other chapters of the scriptures, like we talked about in the gospel records, the book of Acts, and other places where difficulties come into people's lives, and we know and we understand that God is involved in those things in some way, but they're never designed to destroy those people. Remember Elijah? Elijah was just serving God, minding his own business, trying to please the Lord. And what happened? Jezebel came and threatened his life. He had just had a huge victory on Mount Carmel. Those 250 prophets of Baal, that fire came down from heaven. Remember that? Fire came down from heaven, destroyed the altar, licked up the dirt and the water and all that stuff. And then the 250 prophets of Baal were destroyed also. And Jezebel come and said, tomorrow, about this time, I'm going to kill you. And what did he do? He took off running. Difficulty. Took off running. What did God do? God came and gave him some things and gave him strength and gave him nourishment and gave him what he needed in order to get through all of those difficulties, in order to get on the other side and accomplish what God had designed for him to accomplish. And we go to character after character after example in the scriptures and even of people that we know. Understand this. Please understand this. The difficulties come. We don't always understand them. We may not always know why, but I know God is involved in it. It's never designed to destroy me. I need to keep the cargo in whole, intact and on the boat, and I need to get through the storm trusting God and relying that he's trying to accomplish something not just in me, but through me. We miss that part sometimes, don't we? Yes, God is trying to do a work in my life, but God is trying to do a work through my life too. Why? Because the comfort that I receive from him, I'm supposed to comfort others also. It's not just in. Don't be a cup. Be a tube. In one and out the other. Most believers, I say most, I don't know if that's necessarily the right term, but I have found in my life that many people I run into, many believers that I deal with, and the Christians all up until this point in time in my life, a lot of times we just take in, we take in, we take in, we take in, we take in, and we never give out. You know what happens when we take in, take in, take in, take in, take in? The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, the Bible tells us. I don't even want the sweet stuff anymore. I'm just so stinking full. Ugh. But no, take in, give out. Take in, give out. Take in, give out. Take in, give out. Why? So you can get more. So you can give. So you can get. So you can give. So you can get. So you can give. Even in the middle of the storm, God is trying to accomplish those things in our lives. Look, difficulties come. Trials come. I don't understand everything that you all have been through in the last year. I don't get it. I don't know why. I don't know why others of you have been through the things that you've been through in the last year. I don't know why. I don't know why the things I've been through in the last however many years. I don't understand it. I don't know why. We all have examples. We all have instances in our lives of difficulties. Sometimes we don't understand why, but I do know this. God loves us. God cares about us. And God wants what's best for us. Father, help us with this truth. I thank you for your word, how it strengthens us and guides us. Help us, Lord, in these difficult times as we deal with the things that you bring into our lives. Help us to deal with them. Help us to face them, not ignore them, but to know that your hand is evident in these things and at work. Help us to be strong, to trust you, to rely upon you, to believe you. And God, help us to take the comfort that we receive in those difficult times. Help us to be able to comfort others. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, obviously the message this morning is to believers. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there's a storm coming that you'll not be able to escape. It's called eternity in a lake of fire. You're not going to be able to get out of it. You'll never get through it. Without Christ, that's where you spend eternity. And Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again for your sins and for mine. And if you'll trust him for salvation, he'll take you to heaven one day. He'll give you home. You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I can't remember a specific choice or decision that I made. I don't remember a time that I trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? My prayer won't save you. My prayer can't save you, but I'll pray for you. You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. You lift your hand up. No one's looking. I'll not embarrass you or call you out. You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Believer, how about it? Christian, how about it? Going through a difficulty. Been through difficulties. See God in it. Sometimes it's difficult to do that. Sometimes it's hard to do that, but see God in it. He's there. Trust Him. Rely on Him. Father, help us with this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with you. Perhaps God dealing with you as the instruments was playing, music sung. Talk to the Lord about it.
When peace like the
folks. And if you would, if you could remember, if you're able to, come sign these cards. There's one on each side. You don't have to sign both of them, just one of them. And just write your name. We're praying for you. You know, hoping God gives you recovery, full strength, those types of things, whatever. Just want to be an encouragement to this young lady here in our community. So anybody need to say anything? Any announcements before we go? All right. Brother Eugene Baker, would you lift your voice, please, and dismiss us in prayer?